ヤコブの手紙3章3節から5節をお読みします。馬を御するために靴輪をその口にかけると馬の体全体を引き回すことができます。また船を見なさい。あのように大きなものが強い風に押されている時でもごく小さな舵によって舵を取る人の思い通りのところへ持っていかれるのです。同様に舌も小さな器官ですが大きなことを言って誇るのです。ご覧なさい、あのように小さい火があのような大きな森を増やします。
Thank you, Tamau. I really appreciate that. I know it was first in the reading there in the English, but I wanted to read it and then get right into today's message. You know, just thinking here about our church, I could share several reasons why this is our home church for my wife and I. But when we started out just over 2 years ago, came in from England. We were sleeping at Anna's house. We didn't have a place to go. We had no car, no furniture to speak of. And so we came in, we stayed with Anna, and she said to us, we knew she was going to a Japanese-American church. It just didn't seem like something that I would say, oh boy, I'm going to do that. You know, that wasn't like on the top of my list, right? But it wasn't on the bottom either. It just wasn't there. It wasn't in the picture. And she said, come on with me this Sunday to church. And, you know, do you have a place to go? Which, yeah, sounds great. So we came here. And I think my wife will agree with this testimony in that the first Sunday, it's good, right? We enjoyed it. And there are a lot of things we weren't quite used to. You're very quiet. You know, and we're used to a little more activity in that area. That's okay. We're not making fun. I'm not putting anybody down. It's just what you're used to. So we came that Sunday, and then we came a second Sunday, and then somewhere along the line, I'm not sure, the Lord only knows how many Sundays it was, Julie and I were on our way home from our service here, and we both looked at each other, and we began to say, well, maybe that should be our home church. And it was different than what we expected. I just don't know what I expected, but it was different than this picture I had in my head when Anna was saying she was going here. And so over time, I wonder if anybody else can agree with this kind of a testimony. First you come, you sort of like it, and you know, or maybe you loved it, I don't know, but maybe it really hit home first. But for many of us, it was probably like, okay, that was nice, I enjoyed that. Then you come back a second time, and it's, oh, okay, this is good. The people are friendly. We seem to always measure by the friendliness of the people. And, okay, that's good. But then eventually, you get in there. Something starts happening. And then before you know it, you get involved in the church, okay? It's so good to see Nathan and Chelsea, their family. Your whole family is up here. You know, I think Alexander is just itching to get on those drums. I just think he's like saying, can I play the drums next week? I don't know, but he's... But can you imagine in his little mind, you know, he doesn't understand all that's going on. And we just don't beat the drums, you know. We actually have to play in rhythm. And, you know, I just think in that little mind it's not quite comprehending. But do you see what the Lord has done and how God has brought people together? And here we have such a wonderful group of people. And I am just going to tell you from my heart what I believe. I believe there's going to be a lot more people just like you in this body, in this group. I know you're saying, how is that possible? I don't know, but I know that God has a plan. And He is not done with this group yet. He is not done with this church. There's some days I think that... I just speak from my heart, you know, that I think that if we could move Mandy into a position here in this church and get her more than just a helper with her husband, I'm talking financial stuff, I'm not going to say how much, but I believe her gifting would amplify what you already have. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has something to offer. Now, some of us think, I have nothing to offer. Well, yes, you do. And I'll say, Kenji offers us himself, his personality. He makes me laugh every Sunday. It's great. Amen. I just want to say thank you. And I think that, and Phil offers something with his background. Everybody, if I start naming names, I'm in trouble, right? I'm already in trouble. But I'm just thinking about what you have to offer. And is that a bird trying to get in? Are we? Somebody?
Just the wind.
Just the wind. Okay. So my first thought is today, it's not even in my notes here, but man, what a wonderful blessing it is to come together in the name of Jesus. And for this moment of your life, for this small time, you can lay aside all your care and all your worries and all the things that you've got going on in your busy lives and all of that, and you just come together to worship the Lord in the name of Jesus and get together to worship the Lord of all, the Creator. And we do it in our own way and in our own style. And I like that. I like how God does that. So I'm going to speak a word to this church. I'm going to speak a word this morning. It's on my heart now to do this. But God is not done with this church. This is not it. This is not the end of the road. This is not as many people that the Lord has designed to come here that are here. In other words, you see 20 people. No way. God has a bigger plan, a bigger picture, something more He has in mind. And as time goes by, and this is another word from the Lord, you may see a shift in the way things are done now to something else. And the emphasis, as we get in a bunch of other kinds of people, backgrounds, then the Japanese part of the service may, it won't go away, but it will become maybe not as prominent as it is today. Because as we get more people from other parts of the world and other places, and it begins to grow, God is wanting us to minister to all people. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I was in class. I was so angry one day with the teacher. He even prepared us for what we were about to hear. But there was a book out at the time, and it's about a missionary guy. His name was McGavran, was the last name. And he had spent his whole ministry in India. And in India, the one main thing they have in India that we don't have as much here, I don't know about Japan, but it's called the caste system. And there, they really do look at how much you make. It's and you say, well, it shouldn't be that way. Well, you're right, but that's the way it is. So he brought that teaching into the United States, and he wrote a book about it, and he named a part of the book's title was a subtitle. I don't remember the title, but the subtitle said, Homogeneous Units. Whoa, what is all that about? And what he was saying is, churches will attract like-minded people to their church. You will attract like-minded people. So if we're in a certain scale financially, then we're going to attract that kind of people into the church. And I rejected that. He said, this is going to be controversial. And boy, we had something to say about it, because I couldn't find that in the Bible, that we were just looking for people who make $55,000 plus a year into our congregation. That's the group we're after. Or a certain educated group. We only want people from the U of A. We don't want somebody here who hasn't graduated college. That would be awful. And yet, that's what he was trying to say. And the word homogeneous means like-mindedness. You got it. You got the word, right? Homogeneous units. We all come together and we're all the same. And basically, we're just a clone of somebody else, because we're here in America. And if you make a lot of money, then yoo-hoo, we can go to that church and we can just, you know, I was in a service one day, and the offering time was coming, and this pastor in this huge, large church, he said, I don't want anybody coming up here for this offering who's not going to give $1,000 or more. Boy, did he get me out of the picture right then. And there were people that came up, you know, and a lot of them came up. And then he went down to like $500, and you know where he was going, right? And he didn't get down to my level, which would have been about a dollar, you know. Those of you who can give a dollar, like, you know, like, here I am, a dollar. because I didn't want to be embarrassed. But the whole thing went against every fiber in my being. I said, why is he making a show out of people giving money? This is between me and the Lord. And why is he only asking for people to give $1,000? And then the next question I had is, how rich is this church anyway? That about 100 people were able to go up there and give $1,000 or more. Who knows what they were able to give? And if we were in these homogeneous units, I could go to that church because I don't have the financial status quo that they do. So what I'm saying is this. Don't ever underestimate who the Lord could bring here. He might even bring in the mayor of our town into this church. He could. Anybody doubt that? Yeah, I say yes, he could. And then we will, like always, well, you can have this nice chair right up here. In fact, we will make it really nice, you know. And then somebody who's not so well-known, you sit back there. And then we have already violated the Bible. So we know not to do that kind of stuff, but it's just human nature. Okay, I'm just saying that because what I'm trying to tell you is, by the word of the Lord today, and is speaking into this church, God is not done with this church, and he's not done with you. You have still some growing to do. We all do. So that word is spoken to you, and God is going to do some mighty things here, and be praying as God leads other leaders our way. And you know what I spoke about Mandy a second ago. I don't want to reiterate that again. Okay, James chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. I'm going to read it out of the bulletin. My message is going to be entitled today, Taming the Leviathan. What is a Leviathan? I will tell you. And it is in the Bible. James chapter 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherein the pilot desires, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest, I feel like it should say forest fire, but a forest, a little fire kindles, brings forth a little spark. You all know the story. You know, this time of the year, when the winds begin to blow in Tucson, fires are happening and could continue on until the first rains come. But James is going to be talking to us about something today that I want to speak to you about. I want to speak to you about the power that God has given us with our tongue and how dangerous it can be. Now, everybody has been offended by somebody else. Somebody has said something bad about you that has circled around and got to you, and you know the danger that could bring. A first impression. Here's an example. You go to a restaurant you've not been to before, and you did not like the service, you didn't like the food, everything about it was something you didn't like. Do you think for any moment you're not going to share that with somebody else? You don't want to go to that restaurant? You understand? It spreads, you know? And it may not even be the way it really is. That was your first time there. Maybe your waitress or waiter had a bad day. Maybe the cook was tired. There's so many maybes involved there. Maybe your dish just wasn't the one that they can cook really well. And so it's an unfair way to judge things. And conversely, if you go to a restaurant and you really like it and you love the food. Now, I've been in a restaurant before when I've been really hungry. And this I'm going to talk about when we first moved into Marana. My wife and I went to a pizza place right up the street. It's called R&R Pizza. And we went there and we were so hungry. But that day, that food was so good. I said, that is the best pizza I have ever had. And then Julie gets on the phone later on. She's telling Anna all about it. And so, Anna, you got to try this pizza. It's the world's best pizza that we've ever had in our lifetime. And Anna gets the pizza and she says, okay. You know, and we're like, well, it wasn't the same as that first one. Well, we were so hungry that anything would have tasted good. You know what I'm trying to say? We're in a place where first impressions make a big difference. First impressions in church. Somebody visits us, and they're going to have an impression, and they're going to tell other people about it. Oh, they weren't friendly, or the preaching wasn't this, and the music wasn't that. And I tell you what, you guys, our music is excellent. So there's no way that anybody's going to complain about what we have in that area. It has grown, and we have our two teams. Everyone, God is just moving in that way. Thank you very much for anybody involved with music, because you're making it become something wonderful. And I know it's to glorify God. But first impressions, how is all that made? By your tongue. It's what you say. It's how you say it. It's how you emphasize the words. Put the emphasis on a certain word. That was the best I've ever had. That was the greatest. And another word that we've really messed up on is, they're saying, what is the word now that they're using so much? Oh, I'll think of it in a little while. I know the word awesome, but no, it's a negative word. It's outrageous. Everything is outrageous nowadays. Yeah, that church was outrageous. Well, really? What does that even mean? You know, that guy was outrageous when he said that. And then it loses its meaning over time. So our tongues have power. And I'm going to be sharing that with you in just a little while. This is called Taming the Leviathan. So let me share with you very quickly about Leviathan and what this actually means. So I've a couple of things here about it. It is found in the Bible. It is actually a sea monster. In its interpretation, when you read out of Job. So if you look at the Leviathan, the first thing I have in my mind is something pretty big. Okay, how many have heard the word Leviathan before? Okay, you have. So you think of something really big, kind of a monster, mean, angry, something, right? So Job does talk about it. But the idea actually comes as we look in the Bible. So to say very easily here to you today, quickly, it's a large sea creature. And it seems to have existed at one time in history. Today, because we don't find this kind of a sea creature, there's many people that say, well, it was the blue whale, a large whale. So with that in mind, it's found in Job chapter 41, verses 18 through 22. It's found in Psalm 74, 14. It's also found in Isaiah 21, 1 and Amos, but I didn't look up the scripture. But I want to quote to you, read a little bit here from Charisma Magazine, dated December 17th, 2017. A guy whose name is R. Lauren Sanford speaks about a Leviathan spirit that can easily enter into church or to a believer's home. He is not speaking literally, this is me now, but spiritually. The way it is done is by altering a certain fact or word spoken by somebody, and thus, in the course of time, that word becomes the message. And it might be a little change here or there. Think about doctrine for a moment. When they come to your doorstep and they start telling you about their doctrine, and I usually get right to the heart of the matter, it never seems to help, but I get right to the heart of it and I start talking about Jesus Christ as Lord and God. That usually causes an argument. But one little twist. I had a guy telling me, oh, I believe in water baptism. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in God. And all he went down the whole list. And his whole list was exactly what I believe. But come to find out, there was a little change in their theology. And it's usually around the name of Jesus that the change comes. So I went on a little bit deeper. And I said, okay, you're talking about Jesus, but do you say that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, and they have this big argument in heaven, and Lucifer says, I want to go down and save mankind in a prideful way, and Jesus, his spiritual brother, says, I will go, and he's humble by saying that, and he comes to this earth. Believe it or not, that is what's being taught in a very large organization today. One little turn in a doctrine can make all the difference in the world. And so the Bible tells us that if someone doesn't call Jesus Christ Lord, and they don't mean just like a little L Lord, they mean Lord, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, then we have a register within us that says, wait a minute, Right? So it's just something small, but it can become something big. And that's what this guy's article is all about. A person speaking words, for the most part, they seem innocent, but they can persuade another person, and then they hook that other person. And then, as they go deeper, there's another untruth that comes along. But now you've got respect for that person. And so, slowly but surely, this thing begins to enter in. So, here we go. If it's okay to gripe, if it's okay to criticize, if it's okay to say negative things, no big deal. These are little words. They don't mean a whole lot. In fact, I mean no harm in them. I'm just speaking the truth. Everybody tells me. They just say, well, I'm just telling you how it is. And then they go on down that list. And that list, pretty soon, out of their mouth comes all this stuff that you never even knew was there. And it almost sounds like hatred. Something's being thrown up out of them from the innermost being, and they begin to speak these things and say, like, behind their backs, you know. Like, well, you know what? Phil's a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. But there's something about Phil that just irks me, right? And you're so innocent. And I'm just using, sorry, Phil, I'm just using it as an example of how these things go. And, okay, I don't mean any harm by that. Oh, did you hear what the pastor preached on last Sunday? Everything else is gone. There's one thing they remember, and they don't agree with that, right? And all of a sudden, it becomes an issue. And that little thing can spread like wildfire, right? A little fire is started by just a little spark, and it begins to grow. And it begins to go through the people. How do I know that? Because when the 11 spies came back, or 10 of them, came back with a word saying in the land that they were spying out, we cannot take this land. They were talking amongst themselves. Nobody was there, but there's a crowd. But they're just mentioning what was going on. And it was all truthful. And they felt like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants, whatever that means. You know, I mean, maybe mentally they felt like a grasshopper, you know. And then he said, oh yeah, there are big, beautiful land, milk and honey, as the Bible says. Oh, but there are big walled cities there, and there's really lots of people that we have to conquer. I don't know, I don't think. And then the Bible says that it spread through the camp. Can you imagine it just, now you're talking about no speakerphones, you know, and they had no microphone, and you're just talking, and the people right around them hear this, right? The first line of people. And they go, oh, they're right. There's no way that we can take it. Did you hear what he just said? Yeah, we can't take it. There's no way. And the person behind them hears it. Now remember, they're not on a hillside. There's no way that we can take the land. It's nothing like that. They're just talking. There's giants in the land. There's walled cities. There's things that we have to work at to try to get it. It's not as easy as you think. And the 10 came back with that word. And then it begins to spread. And the Bible says it became a murmur amongst the people. Somebody get your cell phone out. Look up the word murmur for me. Who's going to do that? There's Julie on her phone. She's going to. And when she gets the definition, you might be surprised what you hear. So let me know when you get it, Julie. Oh, she just talked to Google. Oh, just wait a second. Heart sounds. Cardiac arrest. You don't have a murmur anymore. Okay. I thought it would be easier, but that's all right. Now she feels the pressure. Anna's doing it. How close is Anna to the race between the...
Got it!
Woohoo! Okay.
A soft, indistinct sound made by a person or group of people speaking quietly or at a distance. Say something in a low, soft, or indistinct voice.
I told you. Yeah, there's no way we can take the city. There's giants there. It's impossible. And the next person, man, you're right. I thought God was a good God and wouldn't send us in to confront giants. You're right. And that spread to the next person. And it went through the camp like a fire. When it got all through the camp, you know, Joshua and Caleb, they were the two spies that said we can take the land. It's a whole story by itself. What I'm looking at here is a little spark. 10 little voices spreads through millions of people all the way through. And then the Lord comes down and he says, because of what you said, you cannot enter into the land. And they were repentant then. Oh, we're sorry, God. We didn't really mean it. You know, we were just kidding. And the Lord said, no, You are not going to enter into the land, and that generation, 40 years, would die off in the desert. So in other words, you guys, a word that is so soft but so negative. I am telling you today, be mindful of the things that you say about this church, because you just don't know who's listening. And don't take them aside. Well, I'm giving you some good instruction here. Why do I know these things? Is it possible that I might have lived through some of these things? Is it possible that I might have actually done these things? Yes, it is. I know what it's like. I understand. I know that it's innocent, and I know that you're just speaking your opinion, but there's some days that you just have to hold your tongue. Okay? Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. And translated, let your yes be yes and your no, no. In other words, don't get into these huge conversations. Okay? So I'm just giving you the definition. We're not even in my notes yet, so there, if you're following me there. So this guy, R. Lauren Sanford, he spoke about a Leviathan spirit. And I was very interested in his article. And he did say, don't get too carried away with what I'm talking about. But it's the little things. It's just something small that comes in its innocence, in its beginning, and it can become a huge forest fire. Alrighty, to prove my point, I would like somebody here with the Bible be so kind to turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, and please read the whole verse. So I see Phil's going for his Bible. Or Casio, would you get it? Proverbs 18, 21. Oh, good. Then we'll get a translation. Yes. Yes. In Japanese first. Kasio, it's okay. Phil.
Okay, so Proverbs, make sure I got it right. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Okay. Let me just share with you real quickly. The Bible's not silent on this subject. Very clear. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. Think about it for a moment. That is a powerful statement. You can destroy somebody's life by what you say about them. I know you've heard this preaching before, but please go with me. I'm talking about taming the Leviathan. The one that might destroy your home, that could destroy your family, that could destroy those around you, that might destroy your place in the workplace interaction, that could do a lot of things. In the workplace, I believe a lot of gossip is right in the workplace. I don't want an amen, but I think you might agree with me. Or how about a professor that you might have in college, one you don't like? I don't like him. I don't like the way he teaches. I don't like the way he walks. I don't like the way he combs his hair. It could be anything. It sounds so innocent. But death and life are in the power of the tongue, and you will receive the fruit of what you're doing. Take heed to that. Listen to that. Take it back a step, and don't go there. Because you have to know that what you're saying is going to have an effect upon people. So I like that verse. Even though it's so powerful that I can't even get it around my mind to think how much power that we have with the little member of our body. Remember, James says it's a little member. And we're able to steer a horse by a bit in the horse's mouth, right? And that makes the horse move. One time I was on a neighbor's horse. And believe me, even though I dressed like a cowboy, and I thought I was a cowboy, I was no cowboy. But I put the cowboy hat on, and I got on our horse called Apache. And Apache would walk like clunk, clunk, clunk. So I put spurs on. And all I got was that little side of him going like that each time. I said, move! Would you please move? And then I found out that he's had what they call barn sour. So I'd get him way out as far as I could. And as soon as I turned around, his ears would, And then he's boom, 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 boom. He's jumping over logs and things. I said, man, this is fun. And this guy tells me, your horse is barn sour. I said, what's that? He wants to eat. He knows he's going back to the barn or the corral to eat. That's why he's... I said, well, that selfish horse of mine, he's supposed to take me for a ride. And we... So my neighbor has the horse that's faster than my horse. And it was a Palomino or something like that. And he was fast. But the bit on that horse was underneath the chin. There's a name for this. And, well, I take off running. I'm a cowboy, man. I'm just galloping out there. I'm a guy about 18 years old, so I have no idea that if I fell off a horse, I may break bones, which had never occurred to me. This is possible. But this little thing breaks off. I'm not steering the horse anymore. And this horse is galloping, just running wherever he wants to run, and I can't slow him down. I can't do anything. And he finally comes to a barbed wire fence. He apparently sees it, and he comes to a complete stop. And all I remember is almost going over the top of that horse. I saw his ears underneath me, and then I came back, and I fall off the horse. And I said, man, that was wild. I had no idea that little thing fell off of that horse. That's the little thing underneath him was supposed to steer him. And my neighbor had a name for it, and he said, and that horse is fast, isn't he? I said, yeah, I'm not getting on that horse again. So I went back to Apache, who was just nice and slow. So... But a bit in a horse's mouth can steer that. How much do horses weigh? I have no idea. A couple thousand pounds? I don't know. But they weigh a lot, right? I mean, if you got underneath one of those and it falls on you, that's it. But you can move that horse where you want him to go by that little bit in the horse's mouth. And he gets to know that, doesn't he? They teach him. A rudder on a ship. I think of these things for you guys all the time, but it's way too late. But one of these days, I'm going to figure out a way to show a picture of something. I want to show you a rudder of a big ocean liner and next to a person. And next to a person, it might look super large. But in size of that ship, that rudder is not all that big. And it steers that huge ship. Just that little movement. And so that's why James goes to this. He talks about it. He talks about a rudder. He talks about a bit in a horse's mouth. He talks about a spark that puts a forest fire into a blaze. It gets it started into a blaze. Something small. Then he said, so is that member in your mouth, the tongue. And it can do all of that and more because death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's got power. It's got authority. So you take it to the negative, you can bring death to somebody, but if you take it to the positive, and boy, I tell you what, I thought this morning, I said, well, it's time to practice what I preach, and maybe I'm going to make a week of not complaining about anything, not even the heat in Arizona, and that's not easy, right? We're in it now. 105 today, 105 tomorrow, 105 the next day after that. It's going to be 105 until September 13th, where it might drop down to 98 or whatever. You've said, it's hot in Tucson. I can't stand it. Well, maybe a week of praising God for the weather. And by the way, the mornings are beautiful, and so are the evenings. It's just that other part of the day called the day. You know, like from 7 o'clock until about 5 o'clock. You know, and you know it's going to be hot when it's already 8 o'clock in the morning and it's about 95. You know you're going to be over 100. So, my sermon today, and I spent a long time on this here, it's to bring your attention to the fact that this little member of our body has power. Use it for the glory of God. That would be my last word here. Jesus said these words. This is in, I think it's Matthew. I didn't put down the actual text. Might be in the Japanese text, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 27 says that by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Wow. That sounds... You know, another one that Jesus said, whomsoever sins you remit or forgive, they are forgiven. Whoever sins you don't forgive, they're not forgiven. That one blows my mind. You know, it's one of those verses that you say, I got to digest that one for a while. But there's some truth that is found in there, that there's some kind of a power that we have working with somebody. To say to somebody, I forgive you, is a big deal. And if they've done you wrong, it's even a bigger deal. So I just leave it at that. So our attention is brought today to those innocent negative remarks that we might have going on all the time and that we're going to change. And there's power in the name of Jesus to change these. Now, I know Phil's already read a verse. I need for someone to read Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. Song of Solomon 2, verse 15. And just as soon as you get there, raise your hand. I just want you to hear this. How we doing? Song. Okay, Mandy's got it.
Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that move the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom.
Yes. Okay, now here's what it's saying, what you just read. She mentioned, does it mention little foxes?
Yes, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes.
Yeah. In a vineyard, they have this. What's made out of, they do it in England to this day and other countries, but they will guard their farmland with a hedge. You may be driving on a road in England and the hedge could be bigger than you, very tall. And that's a fence. In fact, on D-Day, just giving you a little history here, when the paratroopers we didn't know about those hedges. We might have had surveillance, but it didn't tell us about all these hedges. The paratroopers that were landed behind the enemy lines into France and wherever they were landing, they didn't know about all these big, tall hedges that would guard their farmland. And so one of their things that they said they had to do that wasn't in the training and they didn't know about was getting through all those hedges so they could get to where they were supposed to camp together because they were scattered all over the place. Amazing story. So what I'm saying is there's a vine, there's a hedge that blocks the vines from these foxes coming in. And it's the little foxes. It's the little ones. It's the tiniest little animal that could spoil the vine. When I was growing apples on my Anna apple. I had an Anna apple tree that grows in this part of the world. I was growing apples only for little birds to pick their little beak inside of them and to ruin those apples. I had no idea that a little poke in an apple would rot that apple and to the core. I had no idea that would happen. I thought, oh, a little poke, no big deal. And about 2 weeks later, that apple's all rotten and it's done. So if something so small, you know my point. Something tiny. It's the little foxes. It's the things that you don't even give mind to, that you're not even caring about, you're not even aware of. These little things come in and they start to take over. They spoil the vine. They come in. They make their way through the hedge. They get into the vineyard and they begin to go for what? The tiny little new fruit. And as soon as they pick at it, apparently that's it. So it's those little foxes. That's what he's trying to say there. All right. Another scripture. A word, I'm going to quote it, but we're also going to read it. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Where do you suppose I got that from?
Proverbs.
Yes, who said Proverbs? Anna. Whoa, I raised you so good. She just, way to go. A word fitly spoken. You know, if you've ever needed a proverb that's going to help you in this sermon text, this is it. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. It's like, wow, it's amazing. So speak the word at the right time. Maybe they need to hear something good. Maybe their life has been so bad today that they just need to hear a good word for a change. Things are going to be okay. I was taking a young lady to the airport in an Uber ride, and I always ask God for open doors, opportunities, and right away she starts talking about she was raised in Christianity, she was brought up in a Christian school or went to youth camp, and she began to say, I really need to get back. And you know, that was the Lord opening that door. And I began to speak into her life a little bit, and then she said something interesting. She said, you know, the problem is, I just don't know what to do. And I told her about our church a little bit, but that wasn't what she really needed to hear. And then she said, my mom and my dad will not stop hounding me to go to church. All they do is just get on me every day that I'm not going to church. Do you think she needed to hear from me, you need to go to church? It would have been instant turnoff. And I prayed at that moment. I said, Lord, give me a word to share with her. And the word the Lord gave to me, and I shared this with Kazio, I said, it's okay. Your life is okay with God right now. Don't worry. It has all come together in due time. I said, I know. I said, I would do it as hard as I could in somebody's life if they were not in church. I said, I know what I'm talking about. But I said, I believe for you, what you need to hear today is that relax, take it easy. God will work on you as He pleases, but it's all going to come together. One day, she'll come to her senses, so to speak, like the prodigal son, and say, you know what? I do need to get back with God. That will happen. Whether she comes to this church or goes to one she's familiar with, it will happen. But the more her parents were on her, right, a word fitly spoken, it wasn't a word fitly spoken. It would be like any parent, like I would be, if my girls were away from God. Get back with the Lord. I would do the old preaching thing, you know. You're going to go to hell when you die. No, I wouldn't say that, but I would be pretty tough, you know. Better not use that tough language. That wouldn't even be true, probably. So you know what I'm saying, a word fitly spoken. Okay, I'm moving on. It's about 5 minutes after 12. Are you okay? Don't say no. I got to get to my next point. Paul says how to do this. Paul tells us how to change things. This is so good about the Bible. So I'm negative. I'm critical. And I put down these lists one time about my own background. My own came from the grandparents and went on down to my mom, right on down to me. A whole negativity. And I got it from both sides, my mom and my dad. And my mother, she even said to me, like in regards to my brother, she said, how did he become so negative? And I looked at Julie. I said, look who's talking, you know. Just it's coming out of her mouth, but she doesn't even realize it. And so negative. But there's a remedy. It's like the healing balm of Gilead. It's what's going to help you so you don't have this problem. So we're all going to turn our Bibles to chapter 12 of Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to learn how to change things around. And I call this one, second point, renewing of the mind. And Jesus even tells us how to renew our minds. But this one, in Romans chapter 12, let me go ahead and get there. So I really want you to get in there so you can hear these words of Paul. I love how Paul puts things. Remember I gave you the definition of the word beseech once before, earnest prayer? He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed. That's the key word. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Your spirit's fine. Everything in your spirit is perfect. No flaws. Whatever. Nothing wrong there. It's been changed by the power of God. The Holy Spirit lives in there. Perfect harmony. But what happens? We do this little transformation ourselves or allowing something to come up. Oh, and now it's in our mind. And oh, now we just have to say it. I just have to tell you what I really think of you. And then it comes out. The Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Out of the heart come all these things. That's why the heart has to be changed. But your heart has been changed. Inside of you is the Holy Spirit. And He's gentle and He's good and He's wonderful. It's in your heart. That's fine. But what has to happen on our end, this is going to cause some work here. We've got to do something. There's got to be something that we do on this end. We've got to let the Bible transform us by the renewing of our mind. Every morning, the mercies of the Lord are new. Every morning, wake up and say, this is a new day. I want my mind to be transfixed upon Jesus. I want the words that I say to be the Word of God. I want to say something out of my mouth that's uplifting. It's going to help somebody, not tear them down. I want my words to be positive. I want my life to be positive. In the workplace, if they start saying negative things, you got to train yourself to step away and not get into that. It's a trap that you're not... You don't want to be a part of. And it's so easy. And I've been there. And there was a time in my life when I did not let the Lord glorify anybody in the workplace. In fact, it was awful. And I went back and I repented of that. I don't know how many times I've asked God, let me have another chance at that moment in my life when the workplace doesn't dictate to me how I'm supposed to feel. When all that negativity is not part of my life, that I'm above and beyond that, that my mind has been transformed. It's been renewed by God's word. I've allowed Jesus to change me. My words are saying it. I'm going to speak those words. Amen. I'm going to let them be known. I'm going to talk about it. It's going to come out of my mouth. It's going to uplift somebody. The renewing of your mind. Four it's going to take. In order to feed your spirits or change the way you think, but it has to be done by the power of God to do it successfully. So it takes the Word of God, it takes time, and it takes a commitment. Write those things down somewhere in your mind. It takes the Word of God, it takes time, it takes commitment. There's no easier way. If there was, I think Jesus would have told us that. And then finally tonight, or this morning, the change that lasts will make us more like Christ. I'm going to just quote the scripture if you're copying notes. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. And basically it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then the writer talks about how Jesus, even though he was equal with God, there's your scripture for equality with God, even though he was equal to God, did not think of it any big deal, any reputation, anything that should be floundered or bragged about. But he made himself, he humbled himself. He became obedient, even obedience to the cross. So when the writer says, that mind should be in you, what is that mind? You're going to humble yourself at other people. You're not going to be the one that's going to be like, I'm in charge here. You're going to listen to me. And by the way, if you have to tell somebody you're in charge, you're probably not in charge. Just a word of warning out there. Have I ever learned that one? I'm in charge of this meeting. And then they just went on the way they wanted to. And I would say, I'm not in charge of this meeting, so just have at it. We will think like him. We will act like him. We will magnify him. And we will please the Father by so doing. Everything in here I gave to you are separate sermons. So I do have a secret. I want to tell you a secret. Don't tell Pastor Aki. This is funny because you're going to, I think I should tell Pastor Aki. What's going on? One time I said to Julie, I said, when I tell you not to look, don't look. And then I would say to like someone behind her, I said, don't look. Well, what is she going to do? It's like saying wet paint, right? Wet paint. The paint is wet. That's what the sign said, but it's human. Isn't it human nature you do that? I am going to test it and see. Wet paint. Indeed, you just want to try. Like, okay, one day, very quickly, you guys, I was painting this like red-orange color on these door jams, okay? Oil-based paint. And it just happened to be the hallway that led to the bathrooms. And I had it marked off. And I said, don't go beyond these yellow marker thing. And I'm in there painting. I had a lady come to me with a white dress. And on the side of it was red. She says, how do I get this off? I said, it's not going to come off. Well, I am going to report this. And she went on. You know, she was pretty upset. I said, did you go past the border thing over there? And she said, yes, but I really had to use the restroom. Right? And I said, I am sorry, it's not going to come off. But I just thought about that. I said, like, okay, you got the warning sign, you got wet paint, you got red, you got a white dress. Is there any chance, if you think a little bit ahead, that I might just brush up against that? And she did, and the way into to the ladies' restroom, just brushed up. And there it was. And you'll never get that out of there. So, wet paint. Okay, changing the mind, getting back to my word. Oh, We'll be like God. We will think like Him. Don't you want to do that in your life? Don't you want to begin to think like the Lord? Yes, it takes a little bit of work and it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. We want that. And that's what I would always pray for. I'm going to come to the altar and I want someone to lay hands on me. I want them to pray over me and I'm going to be through this thing. And I go up there, you know, and they're praying for me and there's hands laid upon me all over the place. There's people falling down all around me and it's the power of the Lord. And then you walk out of there, nothing changes. And then you're upset. Okay, God, what's the thing going on here? And the Lord says, I want to change you, but you're doing it the wrong way. I want to change you a little at a time. You can't handle it if I did it right now. You wouldn't know what to do with it. So it's going to be a little here, a little there. And that is my sermon. May we be mindful who we daily or even hourly feed in our lives. To tame the Leviathan. If he's not a monster, he'll be one. You bring him under control. Get your tongue under control. Here's what we're going to do. How many days do we have until next Sunday? Is it 7 or 6? Starting tomorrow. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 7 days. 7 days of not complaining. Whoa. Are you serious? You'll be tested tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock with this one. 7 days. Julie, it's your job to watch over me. I give her permission. I mean, she does it all the time anyway. She's good about this. I mean, like this morning when my printer didn't work and I was trying to get out this cord from another computer and it was stuck in something. I'm hurrying, Julie. And it was stuck on something and I got mad. I said, well, forget it. And I walked in. She said, it's really easy to do, Tom. You know, and I heard that voice. I said, yeah, I hope it's not easy for her. And then she says, here it is. And I go, you know. Okay, I'm done. Thank you very much for listening. Let's all stand, please, and we're going to close out on our singing. Thank you so much for bearing with me today. I preached a long time because I wanted to. That's all there is to it. Amen. All right, praise team, come up, and I'm going to start praying here. Pray for you. The way that I do it, you guys, after we sing this song, we're dismissed, okay? That's it. Everybody got it? The song, I'm praying for you now, then we're dismissed. Go to our afternoon meal. Father, thank you for your love and your kindness. I pray that you will help us to renew our minds and to be mindful of the things that we say, that a word fitly spoken, as Solomon said, and he went on to mention some wonderful things. But help us to control the tongue to bring only glory to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Wonderful words of love.